Well, this sermon comes from the larger sense of the Advent season, which I've been mentioning to you, has been more eschatological, more looking into the longer future than it has been in other years for me. And so here we are on the Sunday of love, and I'm preaching about waiting. Well, why? Well, I don't know whether this is new to me, if I came up with this little aphorism, or if I heard it somewhere else, but as I was thinking about this, I realized that no one loves waiting, but we will wait for what we love. So I don't know if that's the first time you've ever heard that. If it is, you're welcome to make use of it wherever you want. I don't need royalties or even credit, because I'm honestly not sure I came up with that. But it struck me that that's one of the things that determines a lot of our perspective on waiting. Waiting is something that we all have to do. That's just the way it is. On our bad days, we think we spend our entire lives waiting for something. I grew up with three brothers in a house with one bathroom. I'm sure my mother got tired of waiting for it. I know I did, and I didn't have any makeup or anything else to do, so it's just one of those things. You just wait. How we wait is an interesting thing for us to think about. When I go to work, I take an elevator to the fifth floor. Some days I take the stairs. It sort of depends how I'm feeling. But if I stand in front of that elevator and push the button repeatedly, it doesn't make it come any faster. If I stand in front of that elevator and I complain about how long it takes to come and get me, that doesn't seem to make any difference either. When I get into that elevator, our building isn't that old, but we have an elevator that I'm not sure if it has rheumatism or what. The first few times you try it in the morning, and I don't know, maybe you're like this yourself. I know I am. When I first get up in the morning, I don't move that well. It takes a while of getting around, you know, take a shower, sort of, and then I'm kind of like normal. The first few times you get in that elevator, it has this sort of jump about halfway up, and the first few times it does it, you kind of wonder if you're going to make it to the top or you're just going to come back down an awful lot quicker. Well, if I wait impatiently for that elevator, if I find the wait for the elevator to be irritating and I get into the elevator and a couple other people get in and they get off on a couple other floors and I find myself reflecting on how long it has taken me to get in this elevator and I get off and go to my desk, what are the chances that I'm going to respond well to an unusual request from a coworker or anything else? They're less than average. Because I'm irritated. I have become irritated. I do not have the quality of irritation put upon me by some third party. It's me. I'm irritated at this elevator. Did my irritation make the elevator come any faster and go any faster? No, it didn't make any difference at all. The only thing that changed was me. If I wait too long for the elevator and I step into it and I rebuke the elevator for the length of time it took and I stamp my foot a time or two to teach it a lesson, does it change the elevator in any way? No. Does it change me? Well, yeah, it does. It makes me a little less patient. It makes me a little harder to get along with until I get over my irritation with an elevator. Because I don't want to wait. I'm sure they're out there somewhere, but I don't know anyone who enjoys waiting as a matter of course. I do know people who have learned that getting angry at a wait doesn't help, and they don't get angry anymore, but that was a learning process for them, even it is for me, and it's a learning process that I have not completed. I have not graduated from the school of waiting well. This time of year, waiting is a little bit closer to our, sort of the front of our mind, because we're waiting for Christmas. Some of us are waiting for people to come from out of town, family members, friends we haven't seen for a while. We're waiting for that. On a day-to-day basis, I'm pretty sure that everybody here has had at least one experience in the last week or two where you had to wait in a line to buy things. Yourself or for someone else, and the line was longer than usual. Have you ever noticed that no matter how much you quietly resent the people in front of you, they don't go any faster? That no matter how many times you stand in line at whatever store you're in and you grind your teeth at the manager who doesn't put enough people on enough tills, have you ever noticed that it just doesn't speed up? That someone doesn't miraculously appear at a till? I mean, to me, that would be the perfect world, wouldn't it? Where every time you were ready to go and buy your stuff, they opened a cash register right then, right in front of you. Which does happen now and then, but wouldn't it be wonderful if it happened every time? It would be wonderful. Why do we think that should be the norm? Because that's what we say, really, when we get angry about having to wait in line. How we wait can say an awful lot about us. And how we wait can have a tremendous effect on us. And that effect then goes out to the people around us. If waiting for us is an affront to our value to the universe, by the time we finally get to wherever we're going to get, we are going to be less kind, less pleasant, less the best part of us than we would be otherwise. And there are some people who will at least suggest that that's just the way it is, that we have no control over this, but I'm here to tell you that that's wrong. We control how we wait. No one can make you impatient. I tell this to my children on an ongoing basis, hoping that it makes its way through to me also, but it takes a long time before you realize that no, other people can't make you impatient. Other people cannot make you irritated. They can do irritating things, but you're the one who decides to be irritated about them. When we're standing in line, waiting for whatever it might be, we're at an airport, in which case you know you're going to be spending some time standing in line, and there's a small child ahead of us who is even more irritated at the wait, it seems, than we are, and they're taking it out on everybody. We have a couple of opportunities there. We can be aggravated at this child and become angry. And many of us, that's our default. That the screaming child, or if we're slightly better than usual, we'll be angry at the parents instead for not raising a better child. For getting our own child rearing, our own childhood for that matter. But we don't have to do that. Like, that's the thing. We don't have to wait in impatience. We don't have to be angry at the child. If we so choose, we can make faces at the child to give it something else to think about. This is my preferred course of action on my better days. And if my mustache is waxed, it's a walk in the park. If I can get a small child's attention and draw that attention to my mustache, they are fascinated for an extraordinary length of time. And this doesn't involve, you know, letting children hang on your mustache or anything. It's just there. And they suddenly realize that it moves when your mouth moves. And they're just... sometimes they're enraptured. It's the most extraordinary thing. If I allow myself, I become irritated at hipsters who have taken over waxed mustaches. And now people tell me, oh, you're a hipster. I said, no, I've been doing this since the 70s. They're following me. I try not to be irritated at that, just like I try not to be irritated at lots of things. When I'm standing in line at a supermarket of some kind and the person behind me forgets that their cart occupies physical space, as do I, and if you try and put both of those things in the same place, you have a collision. I can be annoyed at that. I can even be made angry at that. Or I can choose to think that it's a busy time of year. They're probably distracted. They're thinking of other things. They're wishing this line went faster. They didn't even notice me. Not in a bad way, they just didn't notice. That doesn't make my ankle hurt any less. But it sure makes me resent them less. And on my best days, I will actually pray for them, that they will have a really good day. Because as I've discovered, at least for me, and I think probably for most of us, it's virtually impossible to resent somebody while praying for them. Instead, and it doesn't take much. I'm not talking about, well, I'm certainly not talking about turning around and praying in a loud voice at them. This is just between you and God, praying that they'll have a good day. That when they're driving later, that they won't be distracted there, that everything will go well for them. And I suddenly become a much better person. Is the wait any shorter? No. Does my ankle have less of a bruise? No. But everything's better. Everything's changed for me. We can't make waits longer or shorter. At least not very often. And not by getting angry. Not by getting irritated. This morning was read for us the story of Mary finding out she was going to have a baby. I have never had a baby, for the obvious reasons, but I've been around people who have had babies. I'm around my children who are about to have babies. And there appears to be a time in every pregnancy, at least everyone I've had any connection with, where the mother says, you know, I'm done with this. This has gone on long enough. I want this baby to show up. You're hoping this comes towards the end, which is where my kids are. At 37 and 39 weeks or so, they're about due for that. That's okay. But you know what? Being as angry as you want to be that this baby hasn't shown up yet is not going to make the baby show up any faster. It's just going to make you miserable and the people around you miserable if you really give into it. Because when we wait for these sorts of things, we wait until they arrive. In Advent, we're waiting for the celebration of the birth of Jesus. And we're remembering that Jesus didn't just come once, he's going to come again. And some people, looking at the wait that we've all had of thousands of years now, have gotten irritated at that wait. And it's made some of them angry. There are some churches that are angry, it appears, at how long it's taken. And they're taking it out on the people around them. There are some people who have looked at this wait and said, this is so long, it's ridiculous. And have just walked away. In the same way that on a busy day at a supermarket, every once in a while, you'll see this cart abandoned in a line because someone just said, this is it, I can't wait anymore. Maybe they had good reasons, maybe not, it doesn't matter. There are people who have walked away from the faith because Jesus hasn't come back yet. They haven't waited well. We're called to wait for all sorts of things. And we're called to wait well. What does that mean? Well, one of the things it means, and this is a good thing to remember in Advent, is that if we wait with hope, not vain hope, not fatalistic hope, not the hope of an 8-year-old, as yesterday, hopes that we'll get through this line sometime. 8-year-olds just give in to what we sometimes would like to do ourselves as adults. I'm not talking about that kind of hope. I'm talking about the hope, the optimism that says, yes, we will get to that line. Yes, there has never been a time where the store has been closed in the middle of the day right before I got to. It's not going to happen. It's just going to take a while. Let's enjoy the experience as best we can. Let's enjoy chatting, people watching, whatever it might be. And when we think of this waiting that we're doing for Jesus to come back, because we are, we're all waiting. We've all been waiting all of our lives, even before we knew we were waiting. It's been a lifetime of waiting for us. And if we grind our teeth at how long it's taking, if we shake our fist at heaven, that's not going to make Jesus come any faster. But if instead of looking at it from the perspective of how long it's been and how long it will be, we look at it in the same way that someone waiting to have a baby does, and says that this baby will show up at his or her own time, because that's what babies always do. And when they do, we're going to have a baby. It's going to be great. Oh, babies are a lot of work, I know. I mean, if you have them two at a time, you really know what work is. But they're still pretty fun. Babies are wonderful. It makes the waiting a little bit easier if we look to the end rather than the wait. If when you're standing in line waiting to buy your things and all you think about is waiting in line, that's going to be frustrating. If you think that at the end of this line is going to be the opportunity for me to purchase these things that I'm then going to make use of, to make supper, to give as a gift, to brighten somebody else's day. Doesn't that make the wait go faster? It doesn't really, but it seems faster. And when you get to talk to the person who's selling you your things, you're so much more pleasant. You're so much easier to get along with. When you get to the parking lot, you're more likely to let somebody in somewhere. When you get home, you're more likely to interact well with your family. It makes everything better. If we look to the coming of Jesus with the sure knowledge that he will, and that when he comes, everything, everything will be wonderful, it changes how we wait. If we wait reading the news and saying, oh, if Jesus would just hurry up, this would never happen. What has happened will still happen, will still have happened. The wait will still be there, but we will be less of ourselves. Paul talks about the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5, and he doesn't mention impatience there, does he? Fruit of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control, gentleness, all of these wonderful things. That's what we want. Those are the kind of people we want to be. But if we spend all of our time focusing on a wait, we're never going to be those kind of people because we've lost sight of why we're waiting. I've told people, well, actually, now that I think about it, I've said this actually out loud to people who are complaining that badly about being in line, that nothing is worth this. Just go. Waiting for Jesus will be worth it. His arrival will be worth it. It will make everything make sense. It means that the wonderful drive I had to work today, or not, I shouldn't call this work, I'm just thinking of work. Wonderful drive I had here on Highway 1. The highway hotline said there were some potentially slippery spots, so I had to keep my eye out for that. Turned out there weren't. The frost on the trees was beautiful. It was just a beautiful morning. When Jesus comes, it'll be just as beautiful, and I won't have to worry about slippery parts. I don't know if we'll have cars after Jesus comes back. I don't know. I don't care. What I know is that all of the delightful, wonderful things that I enjoy now will still be there, only without any of the bad side. The return of Jesus, if we still go shopping, every time we're ready to buy things, there will be someone waiting to take our money. We wait with hope because what we're waiting for is worth it. Children wait for Christmas with anticipation and hope and a certain amount of frustration because they know it's worth it, because they know that wonderful things happen. Presents and food and everybody in a good mood, all of these wonderful. If we spend all of our time looking at how long it's taken for Jesus to come back, we're going to lose sight of what we're waiting for and why we're waiting. Mary waited with, I'm guessing, the same kind of patience that every woman waits for to have a baby. Enough to get through. Mary was just like anyone else. What I'm more curious about actually is Elizabeth. Having a baby when you're older, when you're not supposed to. I wonder what she was like. Was she ever impatient? Or did she just enjoy the whole process because it was new and such a wonderful gift? I don't know. But I do know that when we look forward to what's going to happen, when we say it will happen when it happens, when we enjoy all the bits of the way along, it still happens at the time it's supposed to. But we're happy the whole way through. We're pleasant. We're easy to get along with. We're understanding. We're more flexible. There's no downside to learning how to wait well, whether we're waiting for Jesus or we're waiting for a red light. And we can do this. If you're finding the fallen world in which you live frustrating, that doesn't mean there's anything wrong with you. Because those people who know how the world was created to be and understand that the fall damaged everything, that doesn't mean that there's anything wrong with you. It means that you're spiritually aware. But your awareness doesn't have to lead to frustration and anger and irritation with the delay that Jesus has put in. Rather, it's a reminder that this will be fixed. And we look forward with hope and optimism to the day when Jesus comes back, whatever that looks like, whenever it is. And makes all this stuff make sense. Waiting doesn't have to be awful. Waiting doesn't have to be the worst part of your day. Only you decide what waiting is for you. And you can decide. In this season of Advent, as we wait for Christmas, as we think forward into the future, whenever that might be, waiting for the return of Jesus, and when we think of anything else we're waiting for, let's never forget that we are not required to be irritated at a wait. But instead, we can look around to see all of the goodness that's there to be had as we wait. A long wait in the lineup is often an opportunity to have a chat with someone you might not have spoken to otherwise, to brighten someone's day, to allow your own day to be brightened by the experience of someone else. You'll never have these if all you do is be angry. But if you take it for what it is, an opportunity to see God at work in your life and in the world around you, then waiting to buy something at Superstore or waiting for the return of Jesus won't be a horrible thing. And the wait will be just as long, but it won't feel as long. It won't be miserable, it'll be enjoyable. Amen.